Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back to the Membership Machine Show, folks. This is episode 156. In this episode, we're going to talk about creating an MVP, a minimum viable product for your membership ideal community. It's really important. It will save you a load of frustration and wasted time. Both me and Kurt have probably got some good stuff to share with you on this particular idea. So, Kurt, maybe you can tell new listeners and viewers, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Kurt Von Onen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas. We focus largely on membership and learning sites, specifically like enterprise-style learning sites. And we also do a lot of work directly with the awesome team over at WP Tonic.
Yep, that's fantastic. So it should be a great show. This is a really important subject. It's going to really help you folks. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I got a message from one of the show's major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the rest of the show, I also want to point out that we've got some amazing special offers from the sponsors. Plus, we've got a great course done by Kirk himself. And it basically shows you how to build a membership community website from beginning to end on WordPress using all the best technology that you can get for free if you host with WP Tonic. You can get this course at half price, around $29. And where do you get it? Basically, you get it from going to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. So, let's have our introduction discussion. Can you hear that noise?
Is there noise?
No. No, it's fine. I've got some folks, I've got some people doing some minor work on the property.
You're good. You're right, nice and quiet.
Right, that's fantastic. So, how do we begin the discussion, Kurt?
Well, I think this is one of those, it seems like we're coming full circle and we're starting to talk again about MVPs. And I don't want people that think they've heard it before to like tune us out, because I think we're going to come at it just a little bit differently today. And let's just be real. I've sampled Udemy. I've sampled School. I've sampled the course element in Fluent Community recently. I've played in these things. But do you have real ownership, real design ability, real flexibility, even for an MVP in those platforms? My answer to that is no. I think there's a really great compromise out there somewhere between, you know, these kind of SaaS offerings and a full-blown thing with Lifter LMS. And I think that's Creator LMS. And that really puts people in a sweet spot for an MVP or testing out ideas and still having, you know, ownership, flexibility, and all that comes with the benefit of WordPress.
Yeah. I've got a slightly different point of view here, but I think what we, to start off with, what we need to do is explain what we mean by MVP. And I've mostly taken this from a friend of the show, a friend of mine, Rob Rowling, and he does a fantastic podcast called Startups for the Rest of Us. And that podcast is really aimed at bootstrap SaaS providers. But I've taken the concepts, and I think it's really important for people that are building membership or communities. A minimum viable product means a minimum MVP, a minimum viable product. And that's, in the world of SaaS, it's tricky because the product has to have value. It has to justify why people are opening their wallet and giving you money. But on the other hand, until you get those first customers, many startups that make very logical assumptions about what their product, what their customers will really rave about, find particular parts, they get very little interest, and then bits that they thought would be minimum interest, their target audience really rave about, and they have to pivot and adjust and change. And I think that's the same with memberships and communities. The ones, unless they've got a large amount of experience and they've worked with a large group of clientele, the idea that you're starting off, that you're going to get it spot right at the beginning and not have to do some pivots is a little bit incorrect. What do you reckon, Kurt?
I think so much of that is true. Do you need to change? Do you need to pivot? Do you need to take the feedback of your users? Absolutely. I think where people really struggle in this startup mindset, this getting started thing, is a lot of them don't even have people to get feedback from. Just blunt and honest. And so, you know, a real life story, a real honest to goodness, real life story that's happening right now in real time this week is my daughter. She's a figure skater. She has some content on teaching people how to figure skate. Last year and 18 months ago and 24 months ago, like in waves, she would hit social media and she would have these things like, look at me do a twirl. Look at me do the swizzles. Look at me do this. Look at me do that. And she wasn't getting barely any traffic coming to her training product. And then to your point, Jonathan, she pivoted, she changed, she took some advice, she took some feedback, and she started saying things like, you know, posts like the five terms you need to know if you want to get into skating. What are the three mistakes, you know, new beginner skaters make most frequently? And she answered those in the posts. And now this week, she's just had, you know, countless people come in, you know, ask questions, submit videos for review of their own skating, and make inquiries about her and her remote training product. And it all came from listening and pivoting and trying different things.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic example. What makes a good MVP? Well, this is where I just want to point out something that's a little bit different when it comes to membership and community. A low pricing is very difficult. It's difficult in the startup world of SaaS, or it's difficult with membership. It's a value calculation that we are all making, you know, and I put it this way, you know, a Ford Focus or a Ford Fiesta or a BMW or a Mercedes, they will all get you from A to B. They're all cars, but they've got totally different price points and aimed at different markets and different market share. So what I'm saying about this is that you should be trying to build an audience. But if somebody's that's bought a product for $9 and you got them on your email list, that doesn't mean that same person is going to buy a membership $100, $200, $300 a month. That's probably a total different animal. Trying to build, obviously you want lower price offerings to get them in the funnel, but it's only going to be a percentage of those people that are going to be turned into the higher product price. So where I'm going from this is that basically, you know, doing webinars, doing small group sessions, anything that you can get feedback from people at a similar price level that you're probably going to be charging for the membership is also a good idea. Can you see where I'm coming from here, Kurt?
Well, I can, Jonathan. And it's, you made a point, and the point was, not everybody's a bargain basement shopper. Some people need to be on the bargain bins, and some people are looking for that premium content. But the reason we're talking about an MVP is a lot of people need to take some pathway to revenue before they can give themselves the ability to create a premium product. It's a stair step kind of growth process that takes time and experience. And as much as people hate to hear this, Jonathan, I talk to people endlessly about the easy button and how to just, you know, whip something up and make $1 billion. And it's just not real world. There's too many gurus out there throwing this idea out that, you know, you can do X, Y, and Z and have passive income for the rest of your life and live like a millionaire. And it's just not real. So if you launch an MVP and you can start to create, you know, some entry level revenue with that MVP and then get feedback from that MVP and try to figure out, hey, what works, what doesn't work, and what would appeal to a higher level, you know, a higher echelon of user, then that gives you the idea of how to expand and increase and become more premium. And I really do think that you have to work your way up. I've seen too many people try to come out with something awesome and premium from the get-go and then really, really struggle to get any traction at all.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But also don't get disheartened, folks, because no. you don't need an enormous audience. You just need, and be quite truthful about it, folks. People that think they're going to get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people signing up, the brutal fact, they're going to be totally overwhelmed anyway. And it would probably lead to burnout and a semi-failure anyway, because they just wouldn't have the internal processes, probably the bandwidth for the knowledge to handle it in the first place. So a gradual build-up is probably better anyway. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, and I think we could say some real-world things without, you know, giving away the secrets to our clients. But when we look at clients that have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 users on their websites, they also have two or three members of staff that help with content and managing the member list and, you know, answering support emails and things like that. No matter how good your website is, if you have users in a dynamic environment, there's going to be a certain level of support that you'll have to offer, because the element of human error is still out there. So, Jonathan's absolutely right. If you're a solopreneur and you're launching something, you want it to be slow and small at first. I kind of think of 25 users as being like a milestone and 50 paying users as being the next milestone. And then once people get past that 50 user count, that's kind of when it's time to circle the wagons, re-strategize, and figure out what direction you're really going to go in.
Yeah, I totally agree there. All right, this is going to be a shorter podcast. This is an important subject, but I think it's time for us to go for our midway break. And when we come back, we go through some other elements of why MVP is really important. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. This is the important show. But before we go into the second half, I just want to point out that got another fabulous free resource, and that's the Membership Machine Show's newsletter. It's in partnership with WP Tonic. I produce it weekly myself. It's basically, it goes through a topic that I think is really interesting if you want to build an online business. Plus, I do, I find some of the best stories of the week, and I create those stories and give it to you in the newsletter. And it's totally free. To sign up, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter, wp-tonic.com/newsletter, and sign up, and it will be in your inbox around Tuesday or Wednesday. So let's go forth. So I think it's it helps you also understand your target audience, and I think this has become easier. It's become easier to really understand and do research initially by using AI, using Claude or OpenAI or Notebook L. There's a number out there that helps you do research. I think you still have to talk to possible clients as well. And it doesn't have to be a massive, just talking to six people in your target, I think, and just having a quick Zoom with them or having a quick phone call or something will really help you in getting your messaging right and getting the basics right. What do you reckon?
Well, I reckon my dog's excited, if you heard that.
He's excited, what I'm saying. Got a delivery, man, have you?
Maybe, possibly. I really don't. I don't know, Jonathan. I think we're kind of stretching this one out a little bit on the topic. The minimal viable product and getting that out. I'm getting my head wrapped in this idea of, and it's because of a project that I'm working on that has me distracted. If the minimal viable product is done, right, that allows you to change your focus, because if you're a solopreneur, you have to wear many hats. So you get to change your focus and you get to work on your marketing and consider your SEO and look at what your keywords are that really generate traffic and all those things. And then to me, when all of that starts to make sense and I build that kind of structure around that MVP product, then I'm able to take that feedback and expand to go into those next areas. And so, you know, I apologize for seeming just so distracted in my answer. It's just, I'm thinking about this very real life situation I'm in right now, working with a client where they built an awesome product. They have awesome content. The graphics are amazing. The site looks great. It performs well. It's got a 96 on the page speed reports. And they're sitting there with goose eggs for clients. And they're like, well, what happened? And I'm like, well, what happened was, you didn't do anything. We still have to, you know, continue to optimize the website, continue to look for what keywords are going to drive visits. Let's take a look at your social media. Well, you've got 2,500 on Facebook, you've got 1,500 on Instagram, and you've got 174 people on TikTok. And you have a killer product that looks amazing. So how come your social channels don't reflect the awesome graphics and the amazing product that you have? And it's because they focus so hard on making like that, you know, to steal from you, that War and Peace course that they have, and it looks great and it smells great and all those things. But because they skipped the MVP process and they went right to the premium thing and they put all their efforts into it, they didn't do the MVP and they didn't start with base audiences and SEO that was working and things that they tweaked to find that success along the way. And so now we're having to go backwards in the process and kind of, you know, create a mini course out of the big course and then kind of re-engineer what the MVP would have looked like if we would have taken that advice from the beginning.
Yeah, it's but, you know, we all make mistakes, don't we? We all make assumptions. So don't beat yourself up, folks.
But the trick is to not give up.
No. The other thing, I think another clear sign, folks, of somebody that's getting a bit lost is when people want to automate everything initially. And actually, this is getting worse, folks, because of AI. There's so much emphasis on agents. And don't get me wrong, they are increasingly going to get more important. but at the right stage, at the right time. But I've noticed with a lot of people, and they are the ones that tend to not do a minimum viable product. They tend to build out very great courses with great content, but with 50, 60, 100 plus lessons. And then they said, well, when we launch, we're going to have thousands of people signing up. So we need all this automation. We need this elaborate series of emails to go out. We need everything to be automated as much as possible. And no, you don't. You want to talk to clients. You want that exchange of email. Obviously, if you're getting hundreds of sign-ups and that, yes, but then it's probably cheaper initially to sign up a virtual assistant and work and have a couple to support you. And then if the business is still growing, you can then look at AI and that. But they really, it's so important to be talking to your target audience and really understand their problems, their needs, refine the course, get ideas to build new courses. I think in the next couple of years, membership, it's still a growing market, folks. It's still a fantastic way to build a real business online. And all the indications that I've read, it's still growing and will be growing for the next few years. But on the same breath, folks, it's changing. Technology is making it change. I notice that some of the biggest influencers and experts in membership are also changing their position. They're not giving up on membership, but they're changing their business models. They're looking at building community and offering higher offerings mixed with lower offerings, but they're definitely changing their business model. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, things are definitely changing. And with the agents and the AI and all of that, it is a very large distraction. But, you know, we did a show earlier today, Jonathan, with a panel of people, and there was a great disparity in opinion just in that panel of people. I firmly believe there's still 70 or 80% of the users out there that are still very basic in their needs, that are still going to use standard websites. They're going to have standard memberships. My only fear with memberships, and I know that we say, you know, with a lot of faith behind it, that it will continue to grow and it will continue to be a thing and it will, and I get that. But there is a certain level of subscription fatigue that people suffer from. And that what that means is you got to come with some kind of value. There has to be a value proposition. You can't just say, hey, this is a great place to hang out. Give me $5 a month. You know, it has to be, what's their pain point? What solution are you offering them? And is that value worth the $5 a month? But as long as you can demonstrate value, I believe that this is a very viable model.
Yeah, I think you're so right there. It is diversification, and not all solutions suit particular audiences or particular sectors, because it's all down, you know, the courses that you have built are, you know, some of them are at low levels, but your premier course is aimed at a premier market. But the value they will get from that is enormous as well if they finish the course and they listen to your advice, because Kurt's got an enormous amount of experience in automotive sales and maintenance. So his premier course is a high ticket course, which he has been successful with. But the amount of value they can get from it, the amount of money they can make from the process that you're showing them is quite considerable, isn't it?
It's going to be hard for people to understand the numbers as listeners and viewers of this podcast. But like if we were to hit that on the button, you know, people are looking at taking our course, which is about $45,000, but possibly adding $850,000 in revenue to the department that takes that training. So when I price something out, I generally try and figure out, you know, A, do I have authority in the space? That to me is huge. If you don't have authority in the space, then your price has to be lower. As you gain authority in the space, I still try to keep my pricing in some kind of a 10X mindset. I want to make sure if someone's going to give me $45,000, they're going to be able to make $450,000 extra. So I think about that when I talk to my clients, when I say, hey, you want to sell a course, you want to sell that course for $100, will your client be able to get a $1,000 value out of that $100 course? And if they can answer that affirmatively, yes, with confidence, then I think we've got a pricing model to move forward with.
Yeah, and it is a real red flag when everybody wants to automate everything. It has its place. But people tend, it is normally when they have, it's this fear of failing. We all have it. It's nothing to be ashamed of because I think the majority of people have it. But to build out a massive course without not trying it in front of your target audience. And I also think, and I get this a lot from what Rowling has said a lot, is, you know, he calls it either a pain or vitamin situation. It's better to have a course that solves a real problem, a real pain point, than an aspirational, what he calls a vitamin scenario. It's better that somebody's in urgent pain, urgent need, and your course can solve that problem. Because that's what I think you find. You get a lot of musicians that are really successful in the membership because somebody's frustrated. They're not getting anywhere in learning their instrument, which they have this need or want to be able to play. And it's a real pain for them because they really would like to. That's why you see a lot of musicians quite successful. There's definitely other niche areas where you see more success than general because they are solving a real problem, aren't they?
Well, I just think about like medical testing. You know, if you want to be a certified nurse, there's courses for that. Most people do well. There's mortgage brokerages that have to do continuing education. Great, great niche. But that's because there is a sense of urgency. There's that sense of urgency drives revenue.
Right. I think we're going to close it down, folks, because I think I'm preaching there. But it's really important, folks. If you really follow the advice in this episode, you're really going to save yourself a lot of disappointment and get to the space where you can be really successful. Love some feedback from you, folks, about the different areas that you love us to cover in future episodes. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and get more of your knowledge, Kurt?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. So if you find me there, you know, you got the right account. And then Mañana No Más for business, anything Mañana No Más on any social account or mañananomás.com. And I'd love to have you there.
Yeah. And if you want to support the show, like give us some feedback, the easiest way to do that is to watch this on YouTube. With the other, got a ton of other material on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. Or also, if you're listening on your phone to this podcast, give us a review either on Spotify or iTunes. That really does help the show and me and Kirk. We will be back next week with other knowledge to make you successful in the membership community space. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.